Good morning, everyone. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. It's very stormy out there, isn't it? Did any of you come by boat? But it really is quite something. As someone said, Storm Kathleen is making her presence known. The call to worship you'll find on the reverse of the order of service. It's based on Psalm 148. I'll say the words next to the letter L, and I invite you to respond by saying the words next to the letter P. So the call to worship based on Psalm 148. The Lord be with you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 416, to the tune Truro, Christ is Alive, Let Christians Sing. The call to prayer comes from Psalm 16. I have set the Lord before me at all times. With him at my right hand I cannot be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my spirit rejoices. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we rejoice that you are alive and that the cross stands empty to the sky. As we continue to celebrate the good news of Easter, and the triumph of life over death and love over hatred, we join with your people throughout the world in giving you our thanks and praise. Gracious God, you are the source of all life, and in Jesus, risen from the dead, you have renewed the life of your people forever. Therefore, we gather with gladness before you, and we worship you, the God of our salvation. Lord Jesus, in your life, you identified with us. We come before you this new morning with our faith, yet also our doubts, with our strengths, yet also our weaknesses, with our hopes, yet also our fears, all of which are known to you, the one who sits at God's right hand. Merciful God, in your presence, we confess that we have not fully embraced the good news of Easter. We are easily disheartened and confronted by so much that is wrong in the world, our hope can readily give way to despair. Instead of living lives that proclaim Christ is alive, we can sometimes give the impression that he remained in the tomb. Gracious God, forgive us our sins and breathe afresh your Holy Spirit upon us, that despite all that could cause us to lose heart, our hope will be rekindled, and that facing up to the challenges that confront us as individuals and as a church, our trust in you will be strengthened and not found wanting. Lord Jesus, risen and victorious, you appear to your first followers on Easter evening and imparted to them your peace. Stand before us now in your risen power, and in your mercy, give us that peace which passes all understanding. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and together as the one people we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Just a couple of notices to draw to your attention this morning. A meeting for those wishing to explore membership of the church will be held at the church on Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. So if you're not a member of the church but would like to become a communicant member, you'll be very welcome. That's on Tuesday at 2 o'clock here at the church. And there'll be a Kirk's Together lunch in Park Church Hall on Wednesday at 12 noon. And again, all will be welcome. We continue to celebrate our Lord's resurrection in the hymn 443, hymn 443, He is Lord, He is Lord.
Today's first reading comes from the New Testament, Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35, and you'll find it on page 104 of the Pew Bible. Acts 4. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. And the second reading is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. And can be found on page 99 in the Pew Bible, John chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. We sing the hymn 430 to the tune Heifredo, "Christ has risen while earth slumbers."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that Easter is not only about events long ago, but about now. It is not only about others, but about us. It's not only about certain aspects of life, but about life itself. Loving God, as we celebrate your goodness to us and the triumphs of your grace, we acknowledge there is much about life as we know it that troubles and concerns us. And many things can happen that are beyond our ability to understand or begin to make sense of. But we know that in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, you shared our humanity, and that through him you experienced both the good and bad in life. Therefore, we know that when we pray to you, we pray to one who understands what it is like to be happy or sad, to experience hope or despair, to endure suffering, and to face even death itself. Lord God, as we praise you for Easter and the transformation of what had seemed the end into a new beginning, we pray for reconciliation where there is conflict, for food where there is hunger, and for shelter for those who are homeless. God of compassion, you hear the cries of all your children. We commit to your care the anxious and those who are afraid, the lonely and those who are sick, the weary and all who are sad. Especially we pray today for the families and friends of Kyle Marshall and Jaden McConnell, whose funerals will be held in the church tomorrow and on Wednesday. May they know that your hand is upon them, your arms encircling them, your heart reaching out to them, and may they be given the comfort and strength they need at this, the saddest and most difficult of times for them. Almighty God, as we recall how the risen Lord appeared to the disciples and gave courage in place of fear and certainty in place of doubt, anoint with the Holy Spirit your people today, that walking in the light, we may testify to the resurrection by continuing the work of our Lord, embracing the life you offer to us, and by reaching out to others with acts of kindness and love. These things we humbly ask, along with the silent prayers of our hearts, in the name and for the sake of the one who died but rose again and is alive forevermore. Amen. We worship God in the hymn 417. Hymn 417. It's a lovely, lovely hymn with a very soothing, peaceful, reassuring, comforting tune. 417. Now the green blade riseth from the buried grain.
Thank you.
Many of us know the story well, for the gospel lesson on this particular Sunday is the same every year. On this second Sunday of Easter, we turn again to the story that places Thomas in his role as doubting the other disciples who claimed they had seen the risen Lord. Of course, to forever brand Thomas as the doubter of our Lord's resurrection is as unfair to this disciple as it would be unfair to forever picture Peter in his role of denying Jesus the night he was betrayed. Both individuals come across as being faithful disciples to Jesus prior to his crucifixion, and both of them, according to tradition, proved to be faithful apostles after the resurrection. And therefore, we might ask, why this particular lesson is so important to the life of the church that it has been selected to be read every year on the Sunday following Easter. So let's try to grasp its significance. John tells us that the disciples of Jesus, with the exception of Thomas, had gathered together on the evening that the tomb was found to be empty and Mary Magdalene had reported that she had seen the risen Christ. And yet, what are we told? Instead of celebrating the good news of Christ's resurrection, we are told they had gathered behind locked doors in fear of the Jewish authorities. Now, initially, this strikes us as strange, I'm sure. That very morning, they had been given the best news ever. Why weren't they celebrating with a meal and having a laugh? Or why hadn't they returned home to Galilee and the surrounding area to spread the good news? That's what we do whenever we hear good news, don't we? We don't tend to keep it to ourselves. We want to share it. We go to a friend, or we phone them, or we text them. Wait till I tell you this great news that I've got to share. But it was not like that for the disciples. So let us ask, why were they afraid even after hearing news that Jesus was alive? Matthew gives us a hint. He tells us that the Roman guards assigned to guard the tomb of Jesus experienced the earthquake, saw the stone sealing the tomb moved by an angel, and in awe and fear they fell to the ground as if they were dead. They had witnessed what the woman saw that Easter morning. And then Matthew tells us that after the woman left, some of the guard went into the city and they told the chief priests everything that had happened. Now, we've thought about good news. This was bad news. This was not news that the chief priests welcomed or wanted to hear. It was the last thing they wanted to be told, that Jesus was alive. And therefore, they bribed the guards to report that they had fallen asleep and that the disciples had come and stolen the body of Jesus. And we're told that the guards took the bribe, and they did as the scribes had said. And as a result, their report spread quickly throughout Jerusalem, and that many believe is why the disciples huddled behind locked doors. They were being sought for stealing a corpse and perpetrating a hoax, a crime punishable by death. And therefore, they huddled together with the door locked. And then, what are we told? There was one individual the locked doors could not keep from entering the room. The gospel tells us that Jesus came and he stood among them and he looked at them and he said, "Peace be with you." These words must have conveyed not just a calmness to the disciples' fear, but also an expression of forgiveness. "It's all right. I know you let me down. You didn't stand by me when I went to the cross, but it's okay. I forgive you. Peace be with you." And then we're told that Jesus showed them his hands and his side, bearing the marks of his crucifixion and death. And there and then, he commissioned them for service. "You have work to do. You have to continue my saving work." And he breathed the Holy Spirit upon them. What a lot for the disciples to take in. Think of all that they had been through that previous week, watching Jesus going to the cross, being aware of his suffering and death, knowing that his body had been placed in a tomb. And now here he was standing before them. What a mixture of emotions they must have had. But what was more, he was telling them, "You've work to do." Their minds must have been well and truly muddled, but what joy they knew. However, we're told that Thomas was not there with the disciples that evening. Where he was, well, we're not told. And so we've got to maybe try and imagine. Perhaps he was so overcome with grief that he just wanted to be on his own. It's recorded that King George V often said, "If I have to suffer, let me be like a well-bred animal and let me go and suffer alone." Perhaps we can identify with that sentiment. Sometimes when we've been through a trauma, a difficult time, or something has happened, it's good to know that people are there for us. Of course it is. But sometimes we also need a wee bit space, time, to be on our own. But there's another thought as to why Thomas was not present with the rest of the disciples. Could it be that he had heard the allegation against them, which the guards had reported, namely, that they had stolen the body of Jesus? And therefore, could it be that when Thomas finally joined the other disciples, that this report led him to question the disciples' claim that Jesus really was alive? After all, Jesus had been crucified, and Thomas knew that the Roman soldiers made sure that no one ever came off a cross alive. The soldiers had stood watch over his tomb. Who was Thomas to believe? What was he to believe? The message of the Roman guards seemed plausible. The message of the other disciples, well, it was much more difficult to comprehend. Who do we believe? What are we to believe? Just as these questions confronted Thomas, they confront you and me and people today. Do we believe that the disciples had pulled off one of the biggest hoaxes in all of history by taking the body of Jesus out of the tomb and reburying it in some undisclosed location to portray the myth that Jesus had risen from the dead? Or do we believe the witness of the disciples who testified that they saw Jesus risen from the dead on that first Easter evening? I believe this is why the church has chosen to put this particular gospel lesson before us every year on this second Sunday of Easter. It is the church's way of calling us to truly wrestle with the news of our Lord's resurrection. It is a lesson that challenges us and makes us think. Who do we believe? What do we believe? As I was preparing for today, I came across these words by Tennyson. There lives more faith in honest doubt, believe me, than in half the creeds. I like that. There was an uncompromising honesty about Thomas. He would never still his doubts by pretending they did not exist. He had to be sure, and when he was, there was no holding him back. We're told that Thomas was there, gathered together with the disciples in the same room, 1 week after our risen Lord first appeared to the others. He was there amid the fellowship of that early church, still wrestling with his doubt, still struggling to believe. And that, for me, is very important. Within the church, there must always be room for those with doubts and those who struggle to believe. Always room for such people. They are part of the fellowship. However, and this is a key point, what marked Thomas out was the fact that he was still open to the power of God's Spirit to bring him to faith. His mind was still open to the possibility that what he had been told was true. Jesus appeared once again and greeted them with the familiar words, "Peace be with you." And then, can you picture Jesus? He turned to Thomas, and to Thomas alone, and he invited him to reach out and examine the marks of his crucifixion. He didn't rebuke Thomas. He said, "Look and see." And there and then we are told, Thomas made the most profound confession of faith. My Lord and my God. And you recall how Jesus responded, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. These words of our risen Lord from the climax of John's Gospel, they are intended for you and for me today. We who continue to carry on the good news of our Lord's resurrection as it has been handed down from one generation to another. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. It is an incredible story, isn't it? It defies logic and reason. We have to be honest about that. And yet, that is the witness and testimony of those who had come to see and believe that God had raised Jesus Christ from the dead. As we read in the book of Acts, with great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and they did so not only with words. What are we told? Peter was crucified rather than deny his witness to Christ's resurrection. Many of the other disciples, well, they were martyred for their faith. Stephen was stoned to death, and tradition has it that Paul was beheaded in Rome. As difficult as it may be to rationally explain the resurrection of Jesus, can I also suggest to you, it also defies logic and reason to believe that these early disciples would have stolen our Lord's corpse to invent the hoax of his resurrection and then be willing to die for a lie. And so today, we have much to learn from Thomas. Let us be open with God and with one another. Let us share our hopes and our fears. Let's not hold back our questions or our doubts. But let us also ask the Holy Spirit to enable us to take to heart the concluding words of John's Gospel. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Following the benediction, we will sing as our doxology, hymn 443, verse 1, and you'll find the words on the reverse of the order of service. That is the verse we sang earlier, He is Lord, He is Lord. But before that, we sing the hymn 459. 459, a great Easter hymn. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Peace be with you, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and even forevermore.